I want to share a story with you that I recently experienced as a way of highlighting some truths. I returned back from holidays just over a month ago, and I spent some time overseas with family and some friends in Italy. And I started my trip by visiting a friend. My friend Francesca, I met her in Melbourne about 17 years ago, and we kept in contact for 17 years. So every time I'm overseas, if I have the opportunity, I'll visit her. This time she invited me to have some extended stay and stay with her up in her holiday home in the mountains, in the Abruzzo mountains. And I jumped on it and thought, yes, this would be a lovely thing to do. And we were planning. I know she loves the mountains. I know she loves trekking. So I said I was very open to doing some trekking with her for a couple of days. Mind you, I have never trekked in my life, so I didn't really know what I was up for. But I thought, mountains, fresh air, how hard can it be? Naive. Anyway, so the first day, literally the day after I landed in Italy, we did a lovely 13-kilometre walk, and it was in valleys and there was some hills, and I have a photo, that's us walking through, and it was beautiful. The sun doesn't look like it's shining there, but the sun was shining and there was wildflowers, and I was taking photos of every beautiful wildflower, just absolutely basking in God's creation. There's something about being in nature, to be still and silence, that is so amazing for the soul, to really stop and hear God. So it was a little bit of an effort. There was definitely some hills to climb, and but I took it in my stride and I could do it. And based on my fitness level, Francesca surmised that I could handle what she had planned for the next day. So the next day we ventured out for about an hour to another area, and I should have known just by the simple name of the area, these mountains were called Corno Grande, so basically big mountain, that we were up for quite a different type of day to the one before. We were planning to walk to a height of 2,900 metres above sea level. I don't remember where we were starting from, but just that alone, being above 2,900 metres, is quite high. So the moment we arrived, I knew this was going to be different, because as soon as I opened my car door, it flung open from the wind. There was such a fierce wind, and it was 6 degrees. So quite a different experience. We waited for it to settle down a little bit, then we decided, no, let's just get out there. Every single step of this walk was a challenge. I had to concentrate on my breathing. I had to concentrate where I put my every foot, because it was all rocky ground. Most of the walk was like this. At some points, I don't usually suffer vertigo, but at some points I was like, oh my gosh, just don't look to the side, because I felt like I was going to drop. It was very full on. After about 4 hours of walking like this, I was feeling fatigued. But the achiever in me wants to push forward and get to that mountaintop, because that's what we were aiming for. We were aiming to get to the pinnacle for the amazing view. Mind you, there was view all around, but amazing view. And it just felt like this top was never arriving. As soon as Francesca would say, it's just there. So we would walk that just there. And when we get there, oh no, there's another bit. It constantly was like this, and I remember thinking finally, oh, the top is there. And we got to this place, and I was so dismayed to again see that there was another steep climb. My body was exhausted, my legs were shaking, and I knew what lay ahead of me was the descent, and I know descent is actually worse. So I had to just say to her, I'm sorry, I can't go on anymore. I am completely exhausted. She graciously, even though I knew she wanted to get to the top, she graciously said, okay, that's all right. So we stopped, we had some lunch, and I took in the view from where I was. And this second photo, yeah, it's pretty amazing still, isn't it? Still a pretty amazing view. Well, she, a month later, did the walk to the top, and she sent me a photo of what the view from the top looked like. And this is the third photo. At the top was the cross. I think I faced my own cross from where I was. I'm sharing this story this morning because it's a metaphor for our own healing journey. The journey to wholeness and healing, it's made up of many steps. It's not just an instantaneous moment. We may receive healing for something, but then there's always something else that God wants to show us, because God is constantly transforming us, constantly wanting to bring us to new levels of freedom and wholeness. And some days it's like we're walking in a valley full of wildflowers and the sun is shining. Other days it feels like there are twists and turns, steep ravines. It feels like the top is never coming. And the reality is, the top, this side of heaven, we probably won't see. Complete perfection, we won't see this side of heaven. But there are views that we're going to enjoy along the way. And so our healing journey begins by acknowledging our limitations, that we are all gracefully broken, as we've just sung, that there's not a single person in this room who's not broken, who doesn't have woundedness to some degree. We all have a story. We all have experiences, things that God wants to heal and set us free from. We all have limitations. I had to meet some of my limitations on that mountain. I had to humbly acknowledge that I didn't have the strength to go on. And admitting defeat for someone like me who likes to achieve, it was big. But what else do I have to humbly acknowledge? When we humbly acknowledge our limitations, we actually allow God to come in. So healing requires some humility. It requires us locating where we're at and what we're not capable of doing in our own strength. It also requires us acknowledging our view. You know, we all see the world through our own lens, through our own paradigm, through our own experiences, the things that we have gone through. And God often wants us to shift that view. You see, those who sent Jesus to a cross didn't want to shift their view in how they viewed Jesus. They saw the Messiah in a certain way and how they read the scriptures. And because they were not open to seeing things a little differently, to seeing their blind spots, they were not able to be healed. They were not allowing the healer to come in. I love how blind Bartimaeus, recognizing Jesus, asks to see. And I think about that. If you're a person who's blind and then asks to see and your sight is restored, all of a sudden a whole world of possibility opens up to you. You're going to see things differently because you see. You start to make different choices because you see. So what is it that maybe you need to see or ask God this morning to see? I didn't see the top of the mountain as I walked up, but I did see pride in myself. I saw pride of having to look like I have to have it all together all the time, to have to tick off the box that I've done, that I've achieved, and that I'm successful. And because I saw that, I was able to reflect and allow God into that space. When we're open to seeing what God wants to do in us, we actually allow Him to bring healing into areas and allow the new to come forward. And lastly, when we acknowledge where there may be pain, our society doesn't like pain. None of us like pain. And we do lots of different things to try and anesthetize pain. We can turn to pleasure, we can turn to drugs and alcohol, we can turn to lots of different distractions, work, being busy, just to shut out the noise of pain. We like to numb it as much as possible. But can I say that pain has a purpose? Pain is there to acknowledge what is not right and what may need to be brought forward to God. And sometimes it takes a journey to be released from that. I think the call to wholeness is actually one of bravery. It's a one of seeing what's there, acknowledging the pain, and being able to go there. When I trekked the mountains for those couple of days, my friend and I, because we were spending so much time together, we ended up sharing our stories. We didn't realise that we didn't know much about our own stories with each other. And as we were sharing and having sort of this intimate time, we acknowledged that we had some synergies in our stories. And as we were sharing, some painful things came up. But rather than sort of meeting that pain with sort of trite responses like, you know, you'll get over it, or there was just an acknowledgement of holding that pain with both of us, our stories, and acknowledging it and just being in that space. And what I found after a couple of weeks is that God almost brought me to a new level of freedom. And it's not that I haven't shared my story before, but often when I go back to Italy, some things are triggered because of my past. And this time I felt there was a shift in what God wanted to do in me, in a new level of freedom, as I released things, as I shared things. Because that's God's heart, is not just to leave us where we're at. Even when we're not consciously aware of it, he's always trying to bring us forward. He desires to do something in all of us. So this morning, as I invite Kathy up, I just want to encourage you that healing, yes, it can be definitely an instant thing, but it's also a journey. And it comes with acknowledging, humbly acknowledging where we're at, being open to seeing new things, and even acknowledging our pain. And if you're sitting in that space, if there's something that you're hurting in, then just being brave and courageous to acknowledge that and bring that forward. I believe God brings companions on our journey, and I thank this community because we can do this not on our own, we can do this with each other and hold each other in a very safe space. So Kathy, can I invite you up now to share?
Hallelujah. Gosh, it feels different this morning to last night. It's so different. And I was actually grumbling a bit with God last night. I'm saying, how am I going to say this tomorrow when I don't even remember what I've said? So praise God. He fills our mouths. We work in different ways, in different gifts. And, you know, I really respect and honour you, Sandra, for your vulnerability, your willingness to share a personal story that is so real to her. And as she is willing to go to that space, it opens a door for you to receive. And I was thinking as Sandra was speaking that I've known her since she was a very little girl, because Rena, my friend in the second row, and I've been friends forever. And we were born again together in the Catholic Church at 17. And at that stage, Sandra would have been just being born almost, one. And so bold prayers, you know, when you're a brand new Christian, you pray bold prayers, especially when you're 17, 18. The sky's the limit. You don't have the, I don't know, all the stuff that comes with age. And so we prayed boldly for this girl. You know, we declared things over this girl. And as she stands here sharing with you in such a real way, it's encouraging, isn't it, Rena? And I think of all the prayers that we have prayed, all the prayers that you have prayed for your family, for your friends, for your situations, they are all active. You know, here's the living proof of prayer. Growth. There's things going on that you pray for and then you leave it with God and you don't even know what he's doing. And just a couple of weeks ago, had this incredible privilege. Sound a bit shaky, but it's the Spirit of God. Don't get nervous anymore. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And that's a miracle, Lisa, is it not? Used to be terrified up here. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, this beautiful mother from Frankston came up and said, "Kathy, do you remember me?" And I had to say, "No." But she said, 4 years ago, once she told me the story, my goodness, I remembered clearly every detail. She came into the little room here and we prayed because she was pregnant. She was carrying two babies and one of those babies was thriving and the other baby was literally dying because the placenta was not feeding that child, and there's obviously a medical term for it, and some of you may know. She was really desperate, and we prayed. And I can't remember what the analogy God gave me, but that's often how He works with me. He'll give me something, an image that is so real and so creative and so Him that I no longer will doubt in my heart. I just know that You've got that prayer. So I remember leaving her that day. Anyway, she came up to the other, when I saw her, she said, "Those children are 4 years old." When I next went to the doctor, he said, "What are you doing? This is impossible. What's happening in your womb is impossible." And she said, "Well, I'm praying and I've got family praying and church praying." And he said, "Well, keep doing it because it is working. I've never seen this reversal ever." And so those babies are born, but the miracle extends because the smaller baby is still tiny, but a little girl. And her mum said she's embraced that. She's just embraced that she's little. She's powerhouse on the inside and she feels so good about herself. And innately, she's never been taught, but she lays hands on anyone who's sick. It's a desire of her heart. She's been healed in the womb and she's now practicing and putting into action what she's freely received, she's freely giving. Is that not exciting? It's just so powerful. When I came in here this morning, last night I had time. I came in early and I did lay hands on every seat and pray. And this morning I didn't have time. But when I came in, there's three beautiful little girls in this church that I have had the privilege to look after for 3 years. Now they're so ingrained in my heart. They're like family. And those three girls were running up and down every row, touching the seats. And I'm like, yes, Lord, there's my team. They're praying. Kids that I sow into, kids that I love and spend time with every week, there they are. And the worship team, there are children here worshiping. So I'm believing that there is a renewal of youth coming upon you today. I'm believing that places of disappointment, things that have laid dormant for a long time, things that you've thought are never going to happen, Lord, you've forgotten me. Lord, you've let that prayer, you know, it's sitting on a shelf somewhere getting dusty and nothing's happening with it. I believe as you sit in the presence of God this morning, right in your seats, that these things are going to awaken, that you're going to stir in faith today and you're going to start to believe afresh. And it's childlike faith, is it not? Were those kids worried running up and down? They're joyfully touching every seat, led by the Spirit of God, and they don't even actually consciously know they're doing it. Their spirit is leading and guiding them. And when we have childlike faith, it's exciting. And when Sandra came to the office on Thursday to pray for today, I just had this sense, Sandra, you've bought the loaves, you know, in your notes, and I've got the fishes. And we're now going to bless our loaves and our fishes, simple gifts. We bring our simple gifts together. We bring them to Jesus and we say, Lord, bless them, which is what we did. And He is now distributing the loaves and the fishes. And we know that story, don't we? 5,000 people plus women plus children were fed that day. And I believe the angels, I told the team when we prayed last night, I believe the angels are gathering because every crumb is precious. You are going to eat to the full today, and then the angels are going to gather the crumbs and all that is left over, and you're taking home doggy bags today. You're not leaving the church empty. Take it with you and distribute the miracle that you are receiving. Believe, because it activates out of the church. Out of the church is where stuff is going on. I go to the gym and I tell you, more happens in that aqua class often than I see anywhere else. And last week, they're so busy giving me their prayer needs while I'm changing into bathers. And I'm there mumbling and praying as I make my way from the bathers, you know, to the pool. And I had to say to the teacher the other day, I'm not crazy when you see me mumbling. I'm actually praying those prayer requests so fast because I don't want to forget. I want to be diligent. She said, you've got to do what you've got to do. And off we go. And it's like prayer has becoming part of that pool, prayer and Jesus and life and God, because what you carry is so powerful. I can't tell you, you haven't begun to recognize what you carry is so powerful. It changes worlds. It changes lives. You have healing power within you. When you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You've just got to be bold enough to do it, bold enough to have a go, bold enough to step out. When God brings someone across your path who's a bit weepy or a bit sad, you bring a word of encouragement. You'll be amazed how he will intervene. His supernatural comes on your natural, and you become a person that you didn't know you could be, because it's who he designed you to be, who he planned for you to be. It's not what happens up here on the pulpit, but what is happening today is this beautiful worship team, the beautiful CIA team, the beautiful media team are serving you, and we are totally in unity, and Hattie and Sandra, all we're in unity to serve you. And we can serve and serve and serve, but if you don't take what we are giving to you, if you don't act on what we are giving, you know faith without action is dead. So you've got to do something with it. You've got to activate it. And I really encourage you. So what we're going to do, the worship team are going to be just really presenting and gifting you today. And we believe you're going to receive in the very seats that have been anointed for you to sit in. You're going to see and know and be touched. God's going to untwist you today. You know, when I love this, that John the Baptist, when he was speaking just before he baptized Jesus, one of the things he said to the crowd was, every twisted thing in your lives will be made straight. That's what he said to them. And that's repentance. You're repenting before God. It's not a dirty word. It's not, we think confession is yick and we don't want to go there. It's your best friend. It's totally your best friend. And the faster you get at just recognizing, oops, I just stepped into a little pothole. How do I get out? Jesus, forgive me. I've made that mistake again. Forgive me, and we turn towards where God wants us to go. So every twisted thing in your lives will be made straight. And I love to think about that Jesus didn't have any sin in his life, but he identified with the sinners, didn't he? He was there and he was choosing to be baptized. He chose to be there. He chose to be present. He's choosing to be present with us today. When we choose to ask forgiveness, he's with us. He's for us. He's not against you. He causes you to be the head and not the tail, above and not below, and to walk in favor, Hannah Vass, with God and with man. She's heard it every day of her life, that same prayer, and it works. And that's God praying for you today. For you. He's for you and not against you. If you don't receive prayer today, we have healing rooms on the 18th of October. It's the third Thursday of every month. It is an amazing time. The presence of God is gloriously there, and there's lots of teams to pray. So today it's more about you and God, as Sandra has said, but we do have the people available to pray too. Bless you, and just open your hearts and receive.